Praise the name. Let's stand this morning. I'll read you one scripture. And bear with me this morning, as you know, preaching is about the minister delivering his soul. That's what it's about. It's about having the ability without fear and without favor to deliver his soul. And I thank God that I'm preaching in a place where allows me that opportunity. We find David in a very wilderness place, the wilderness of Judah. And he writes in Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. I want to preach a little while this morning from this thought, how to survive a dry place. How to survive a dry place. God, I come before you this morning. I ask you to help us to open up our hearts and our minds to receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save the soul to the uttermost. No matter what a person has done, God, you're able to forgive them. Nobody can be good enough on their own to be saved, and nobody can be bad enough to be lost that your mercy can't reach down and touch them. Do that this morning. And convert us, God, from the vile creatures we are into your image, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Is it getting a little warm in here to y'all? Could we turn on a little air condition, please? In Southwest Louisiana, I'm heater one day and air condition the next. Survival. Survival to you this morning may not sound like much, but let me tell you what survival is to some people. It's their success story. Some people, you'll hear, I survived cancer, I survived this. That's their success story. And other people talk about their thrive story. I've thrived in this. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, I got this money and I got this job and that. That's fine, and I'm thankful for it. But there are times that you have to survive some dry places in life. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have. I felt like sometimes I prayed and it just hit the ceiling and came right back down. It didn't go anywhere. And I'm like, Lord, I feel so empty and I feel so dry. Where are you? And I got to get up and preach and I got to help you. And even though I may feel dry myself, you got to keep living. You got to keep walking, knowing that this won't last forever. Say this with me. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. It won't stay dry forever. And it won't stay on the mountaintop forever either. David finds himself in a wilderness place where there is no water. The anointed of God to be the next king of Israel must survive some dry places in order to ever sit on the throne. Amen. It is dry not only physically for David in the wilderness of Judah, but it is dry spiritually for him. He is saying, oh my God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, O God. My flesh longeth for thee as a dry and a thirsty land and where there is no water. This is a dry place. Amen. Sometimes we just want to talk about how we flourish, how blessed we are. Sometimes being blessed is just coming out of the dry place, coming out of the lonely place, coming out of the destitute place. Sometimes it's just being able to pay the bills, let alone buy something extra. Jesus said it this way as he talked to the Pharisees, he that is well needeth not a physician. Amen. So this morning, I know that we all are sick in some way. Did you hear me? We're all sick in some way. We all have issues and we all have things that go on in our life, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental. We all have things that we need help with this morning. The Bible says that we go from glory to glory. We go from faith, to faith, and that sounds great and victorious, but can I tell you, between every glory, there is going to be a story. And can I tell you, between every mountain of faith, there is a valley of fear that you get to. And you go from one faith to another faith, but through there, you've got to go through the valley to get to the next place. Amen. You go from one womb to another womb, and between every womb is the threat of the tomb. God keeps us moving. We have a moving God. He doesn't let you stay still for anything. Even when on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter saw that what was going on, he said, Lord, let us build three tabernacles, because it was the Feast of the Booth at the time. At that time, he said, no. The voice came from heaven. While Peter piped up and began to talk on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there to witness it. He wasn't there to talk. But he was a talker. Peter was a talker. And he began to say, hey, Lord, let us build three. One for you, one for Elias, and one for Moses. We're building these three. We're going to be a happy little group up here on the mountain. He said, shut up. You know how he said, shut up? A voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hear him. Hear him. You shut up. Hear him. You came to witness. Shut up. And so many times we have to realize that God takes us to a mountaintop, but there's valleys that we find between those mountaintops. And we like the victory and all this kind of thing. But David wrote it this way, yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He knew how to be high. He knew how to be low and everything in between. Life of Moses is what I want to use this morning for my example of surviving the dry places. It comes at a time when we find the picture of Moses. When he first comes into the view of the Bible, it's in the chapter of Exodus. This Moses is their captain, Exodus. He's the one that will lead them away from Egyptian bondage. But the Israelites were found themselves in Egypt because Joseph had went there. Then he called his father there. And now they have multiplied and multiplied. They went in as 70. They'll come out like 1.5 million. Boy, they were multiplying. And the Pharaoh got worried that they would join up with the enemy and overcome them. And he said, look, we can't let this happen. So what he did is he told all the midwives to take the son. When a son was born, now you think about it, you that have sons. You back then, they didn't have ultrasounds and sonograms and tests you take and all this kind of stuff to find out if it was going to be a boy or a girl. So 9 months, you don't know. You're praying you have a daughter. Because you know your son is going to be dead. Because he said, every son that is born, cast them into the river. Drown them. Lord, you're hoping you got girls. Moses came out of the womb. He was a boy. He was a man. He was a son, if you will. And no sooner did he get out, the enemy was trying to kill him. Amen. They were trying to get him. And the enemy wants to destroy you as soon as you come out of the womb. The Bible talked about the birth of Jesus on this wise, that the dragon was there to devour him as soon as he come out of the womb. The devil wants to get you as soon as you pray through. Let me tell you something. The reason I look across this congregation, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, most of you will still be here. But if we could check the womb and check who just came out of the womb and do a comparison who was birthed even in this church, where are they? They hardly got out of the womb and the devil got them. Before they ever met Moses, they were trying to kill Moses. I know what it's like for people to try to kill you before they ever meet you. I know what it's like for people to talk about you and they never even know nothing about you. I know what it's like for people to speak evil about you and they don't even know. Before they ever knew Moses, they were trying to kill him. And sometimes after you survive the womb, which can be tragic, you got to survive the tomb and everything in between. But let me tell you something. Some of you have survived the womb and the tomb, and you're here for the glory of God, to show what God has done in your life, because you wouldn't be here. You'd be like David. It had not been the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against me. They would have swallowed me up quick when their wrath was kindled against me. David said this. He said, from my youth up have they afflicted me. I got to thinking about that. You know where he was when he was a youth? With his own brothers. From my youth up, he said, they have afflicted me, yet they have not prevailed against me. No one can go against you like your own family. Moses was 9 months in the womb, and a wondering mom, will it be a boy or will it be a girl? And when Moses came out, I'm sure she said, oh my God. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? Amen. But after 9 months of being in the womb of his mother, she hid him in another womb in the house. Moses will go from womb to womb to womb to womb, into hiding, into hiding, into hiding, till God is ready to use him. Took him and put him, no doubt, in a room, and a knock may come on the door. Did you have a baby? Oh, what baby? Baby? Oh, it was a girl. It was a girl. It was a girl. Let me tell you, back then, they didn't mind lying to protect the promise. Abraham lied to protect the promise. He said that was his sister. Well, there was some degree of truth to that. But he convinced the king to leave her alone because he feared for his own life. Feared he'd take his wife and kill him. But he lied to protect the promise. So Moses comes out of one, escapes one room, and now he's got to hide inside the house for another 3 months. So for 1 year, 9 months, 3 months is 1 year. So 1 year he went from one room to a womb to another womb, if you will. And now the Bible says he could no longer be hid. Now what am I going to do? He's getting too old to hide anymore. I got to have a plan. So he will go into another womb because every male child was supposed to be cast into the river when they were delivered. And now he's 3 months old. How will I hide him? And she takes a little bulrushes and weaves them together and makes a womb for him and puts him back in the womb and throws him in the river just like the Pharaoh said to do. She obeyed him. But before she threw hers in the river, she put him in an ark. Oh, my God. And there he is floating down the river of uncertainty, crying and crying, crying. A little baby hungry and afraid and scared. Crocodiles, if you will. Alligators, birds wanting to peck your eyes out. And he's floating down the river. Have you ever cried from uncertainty? Didn't know what tomorrow would bring. Didn't know where your life was going at all. Couldn't figure it out. And you're crying and you don't even know why you're crying. Uncertainty will make you cry and be perplexed. But let me tell you, the mercies of God was with him just like they're with you. And Moses wasn't designed to fulfill his own purpose. He was designed to fulfill the purpose of God. And when you are designed to fulfill the purpose of God, God will sustain you for his purpose. Nothing can take you out when you are called according to his purpose. But when you're called according to your purpose, honey, I'd be crying too because there's a lot of uncertainty. But I know in whom I have my trust. And he's able to keep me through the river, through the womb, and through the tragedy, through the lion's den. He's able. Amen. Living for God, let me just tell you this. I'm making an announcement. It's a public announcement. You can tell anybody you want to. It's a public announcement. Living for God will disturb your life. Living for God will upset your life. Calling of God will upset your life. I never dreamed I'd be doing what I'm doing now and all the other things I'm doing. It'd be so much easier. David said this one thing and one thing have I desired. Only one thing have I desired and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you, that's still my only desire, is to live for God and do the calling and the bidding of God. Everything else will pass away but the calling of God. His only protection, Moses' only protection, is the purpose of God. And today your only protection is the purpose of God. Be sure you're fulfilling God's purpose in your life. You're here this morning because you're seeking him and his purpose and his will. You wouldn't be here. I don't think anybody come here to pass out a business card, and you shouldn't. I don't think anybody come here just to see who's going to be here, and you shouldn't. But let me tell you, you're here to seek out the purpose of God for your life. While others are gone, there's other people smarter than you that are in jail today. There are other people that got more wealth than you. They're in the grave today because they didn't seek the purpose of God. But let me tell you, if you'll seek the purpose of God, God will sustain you. It's not according to what you want to do. It's according to his election, not our election. God's already had an election and he chose you. He chose you. Crying as he floats down the river, believe it or not, an Egyptian princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, hears him crying and falls in love with a baby that her father wants to kill. My God, the only one that could have fallen in love with the baby and kept it was the daughter. My daughter used to go to school and tell him over there at what's the name of that school that they used to go to? Lakewood. I got my daddy wrapped around my little finger. Isn't that what you used to say? She told him that. She wasn't about that. And she was right. The only one that could keep that baby was the one that found it. I can almost imagine she bringing that little baby home, and her dad said, "What? That's one of them Israelites. Throw that thing in the river." "Oh, but Daddy, he's so cute. I just love him. He's so cute. I call him Moses because I drew him out of the water." Little did she know that was God's plan. "Well, all right. Okay, keep him." Oh, God's got a plan, folks. And so she said, "Well, I got to find someone to nurse him, someone to help me with him. How about you?" And it was his mother. It was his mother. My God, took him out of the womb of the bulrushes and put him back in the womb or the arms of his own mother to nurse him. And so we find that Moses was drawn out for a reason, and you're drawn out for a reason out of the womb that you came. You could have died in the womb, but God drew you out of the womb for a reason. And many times you and I go through some strange wombs in life. I've been through some strange incubation periods in my life. It's like, what am I doing here? Anybody know what incubation is? Anybody ever incubated eggs? Let me see. Anybody? Just a few of us. I've incubated eggs. Amen. Can't wait for them to hatch open. Pharaoh's daughter gives this baby back to its mother. And Moses grew and learned the culture and the protocol of the palace in which he lived. Now stay with me this morning. Amen. He was moved from one place to another according to the purpose of God in his life. He didn't know that. And you don't know that many times. Why did this happen? Why has this happened to me? Don't question why. Just say, "Yay, Lord. Amen. Use me, Lord." And so he gets learned and skilled in the ways of Pharaoh and the house of Pharaoh and the protocol of leadership, because he's going to be a leader. Amen. A lot of times we go through things that don't make sense. I can't make sense of it. If I could just understand, then maybe I would be okay with it. Can I tell you this morning, just wait, you will. There's an old song we sing, "I'll understand it better by and by, and you will." Do not get discouraged. Hang in there. Amen. We want it to make sense according to our purpose and according to our desires. That's why how we want to make sense. But when you make sense according to his purpose and his desires, you don't understand the pit, but you trust him. I don't understand why I'm going through this, the sickness, but I trust him. Your story this morning is a sequence of episodes. You know what an episode is? Episodes. Well, let me just refresh your memory. Who shot JR? You don't know either. I don't know either, but I was in dental school, and it was all watching a show called Dallas. I mean, it was, Dallas is on. They'd all pack into and watch Dallas. And finally, it was, who shot JR? Well, who shot JR anyway? Anybody remember who shot JR? Well, you can Google it and find out, I'm sure. It's real important. Who shot JR? And it was episode after episode after episode, right? It was, what is an epa? Epa means upon, right? Episode. And it was one episode. It was one thing upon another, till finally they found out who shot JR and Dallas ended, right? So the story, it had a storyline, but you didn't find out to the end. And living for God is one episode after another episode. It may be one sickness after another sickness. It may be one destitute time after another. But it has a story. And you may not know until you get to the end. You may not know and may not understand till you hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have overcome a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." You say, "Thank the Lord. Now it's worth it all." I don't know about Moses and what was going through his mind, but I do know this. The Bible says that he looked out one day to look upon the afflictions of his people, and he saw an Egyptian fighting an Israelite. He saw a man that where he lived fighting with one of his own brethren. And his instinct rose up. Something inside of him that was greater than his raisings rose up. as he watched the fight. I don't think it took Moses long to figure out what he wanted to do, but perhaps for a minute, he says, whose side am I on in this fight? Whose side am I on? You know, let me tell you something. When something's going on, you can do one of three things. Here's the three things. Here's your three choices. Do nothing. You can fight the Israelite, or you can fight the Egyptian. Most people will do nothing. It's sad to say, but most people will do nothing. Do I fight with who's kind to me, or do I fight with who's kin to me? Do I fight against the people that's providing all this stuff for me, against the person that I really know God is for? Amen. Do I fight against the Egyptians of this palace, or do I fight with the people of God? Something was rising up inside of him. Let me tell you something. Just pulling for somebody is not enough. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. How about pull with me? Words won't get it done. He could have just looked out the window and said, hit him. Hit him. He could have watched him. Lord. Let me tell you something. I wrote this down. Sometimes people are attached to you because of what they can get out of you. But anything that's joined to you is part of you. A tick don't want you to die. It's the old host and parasite, right? The tick don't want you to die because he's attached to you. He wants you to win. Let me tell you, the tick is pulling for you. He wants you to get over that fever he infected you with so he can get some more out of you. Right? But if you're joined to someone, when they hurt, you hurt. It's like the Bible says, the church is fitly joined together like a body, so that when my eye hurts, my toe hurts too. My toe hurts, my head hurts. It all works together. And so while the tick is pulling for you, let me tell you something. I've had too many ticks in my life. I've had too many ticks. I've had people that just watch me get beat up and pull for me and not do a thing about it. Not do one blessed thing. Just watch you get hit. Nothing. But there's something was inside of Moses. When he saw his brother get hit, he looked this way and he looked that way and he said, I'm going to step in here, lose all or not. I know what's right. And he went in there and he killed that Egyptian. I ain't asking y'all to kill nobody, but help me. If somebody talks about me, shut them up. Shut them up. Say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know that man like you act like you know that man. I do that for you. Don't you talk about my sheep. No. I don't want to put up with that. We have to work together. Don't just pull for me. Just pray, well, yeah. You know, but I've been in places where they just pull for you. Well, hope he wins. If not, well, someone will take his place. Oh, Lord, let me get off my soapbox. I'm back to Dallas. Moses left the palace, a place of security, to fight in a place of insecurity. And anytime someone will watch you get beat up and not help you, they're not kin to you. They're not kin to you. I don't care whether my son or my daughter or my wife are wrong. If you're beating them up, I will fight you. They can be wrong, but I'm going to fight you. We'll settle that part later, but right now I'm going to fight you. But in the house of God, we watch them fall. Knowing it could be a pastor, it could be another saint, and we just watch them fall. God, help us. How do you think Moses would ever escape watching the fight of these two and him say, well, I'm pulling for him. Well, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved, Lord. I don't want to get involved. I'm in enough trouble. Okay. He left one place and he went to another place. But now he's in a place where he has to make a choice. And the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Tired of being called. I don't belong here. And when he beat this man, he murdered this man, he had to flee again. He had to flee again because he was willing to fight. He may not even have known the man. Let me tell you, he killed a man that had never done him wrong. Do you understand that? I had one time, he's a preacher, and he said, well, what happened, blah, blah, blah. I said, blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, it ain't happened to me. I said, okay. I said, you're dismissed. I don't need you over here. Because if you can't feel for me, you ain't going to feel for me till it happens to you. Then when it happens to you, you feel for me, but it's too late. We have to work together in the kingdom of God. David fought over a one sheep that was in a lion's mouth. He had a pasture full of sheep, but it was one of his sheep. And that's why God called him to fight Goliath. Why did he fight Goliath? Why did he say, is there not a cause? Because he threatened the armies of the living God. Is there not a cause? If y'all won't fight him, I will. Where are the Davids of this world? The Davids of the church is willing to stand up. Moses' instinct overcome his raisings. He murdered this man. And when he murdered this man, it was a sign that the water had broke in the palace. And now he's going to be out of that womb. And he's got to flee for his life. But it's all part of the plan of God. And he leaves the comfort of that womb, listen close, to go to a dry and a barren land. He leaves the comfort of sitting in his bed and eating toast and peanut butter and jelly and omelets every morning served to him to go to a desert place. Well, what can I eat today? I wish I had a bologna sandwich today. How will he survive this dry place after leaving the palace? And he's headed back to a home, listen, that he never knew. He never knew. This eloquent man that was raised in all the protocol and everything of Egypt, now he finds himself herding sheep. He's got one of the lowest jobs there is. This is the bottom of the bottom. His father-in-law just said he could have found somebody else. David needed a job. I've had people come by me telling me all the time, I just need a job. And so he gives him a job herding sheep. But it was all part of God's plan. And in the wilderness, in this desert place, he learns how to survive the dry places and the not having everything like he wants. How do you go backwards? Let me tell you something. Can I help every person that works a job? That many times you get to a job and you start making a certain amount of money, and then corporations and people get the things happen. And I'm not saying they're right in what they do, but they say, we're going to cut you 50 cents an hour. Oh, I ain't doing that no more. They don't pay me. You got a job. You still got the job. Be thankful for the job. Do the job just as good as you used to do the job. Because you got a job. Other people, well, you don't want that job? Okay, somebody will take that job from you. And then you can go out to the dry places. That was free. You got to survive even being laid off. You have to survive that. You have to survive family problems, failures, and loneliness. How do you survive loneliness when you want to be alone? So lonely, but yet you want to be alone. But David said, oh my God, thou art my God. I will seek thee early. Amen. My flesh longeth for thee in a land that is dry and thirsty where there is no water. I've got to survive this thing. And Moses found himself in that place in a dry and a desolate land. This same guy that used to sleep in a four-poster bed, had polished marble floors and could eat whatever he wanted to. He finds himself in a hot and a barren land in sandals and with dirt and sand between his toes, trying to herd up a bunch of sheep. How do you survive the memory of what you lost? Moses was learning to adapt. Have you ever had to do that? Say, well, honey, we made it through this, and yeah, we had that, but we can make it again. Amen. I got a really nice bass boat and all that, and it's used, but I'm proud of it. But let me tell you, I used to have a flat-bottom boat with a 6-horsepower motor and had the time of my life fishing. And if the Lord takes that boat away and that motor away and that camp away, I'm going to look for another 6-horsepower motor and an aluminum boat, and I'm still going to have the time of my life. No matter what it is, I'm going to have the time of my life. I'm not going to let what stuff be the time of my life. I'm going to let just enjoying fishing, enjoying life be the time of my life. And so Moses is adapting. and from being waited on to having to find something to eat himself, and somehow he's got to survive the dry place of being laid off, this dry place of leaving the palace, and somehow he's got to make it. And right when he finally got to where, you know, I think I can make it. Bless God. I think I'm over that now. Thank the Lord. You know, a lot of times you think you're over something you're not. But he was just finally like, okay, got this behind me. This is the way life's going to be. And he kind of was accepting this is the way it's going to be. And as he walked by, he sees a bush burning. I wonder why that bush don't burn up. Because it's a hot and a dry place. Things that are dry burn fast. And it doesn't burn. It's not consumed. He said, I will turn aside and see why the bush is not consumed. Mm-mm-mm. Little did he know it was the calling to enter into another womb. My God. Out of this bush, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, he said, that's my man. That's my man. He learned to adapt to a king's palace, and he learned to adapt to the desert, because he's going to go into the desert. And he's going to talk to kings and to pharaohs. That's my man. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. This is where I'm at. I got sandals, I got dirt between my toes. I'm hungry, but Lord, I'm surviving. And the Lord told him, don't draw any closer, but put off your shoes from off your feet. For the place, now listen, till you miss the message if you miss this. For the place whereupon thou standest, it's not desert ground. It's not unholy ground. It's not just sand your own. It is my holy ground. I brought you here to prove you. And it's my ground. Now take off those sandals and let your feet touch my ground. Woo! Glory to God. This ground is holy ground. And you thought it was a dry place. This sickness, you thought... No, he said it's not to death, it's for his glory. You see, we've got all these plans according to my will, but it's got to be according to his will. And what you thought was a desert was holy ground. What you thought was no man's land was God's land. What you thought was a forsaken land was the land of his calling. Amen. The trial that you go through is not just a trial to put you in a trial. It's a call to perfection. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. The Lord wanted him to respect the ground he was on. Take off your shoes, this ground, this sand, this place. Respect me now. Through the sickness, through the heartache, through the pain, this is God's holy ground. Say, come this morning, Brother Brian, would you come? Moses, you're not here because of Pharaoh. You're not here because you murdered a man. You're here because of the calling of God. And I believe with all my heart you're here because of the calling of God. You say, well, they did me over there. That's not the reason you're here. If that hadn't happened, that's not the reason you're here. The reason you're here is God was moving you from one place to another place, until you could fulfill his will and not your will. The Lord told Moses, I just moved you from place to place. But now, listen, the last thing Moses wanted to hear, sister, was, you know, you're my man. Oh, praise God. Thank the Lord. Use me, Lord. He said, I want you to go back. Do what? Go back to the house you once left. And tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But that'll make you stutter. That'll make you stutter. And he said, Lord, they seek my life. He said, he dead. He's dead. That Pharaoh that was after you, he's gone. God knows how to move people. I'm sorry, but he does. You go back. Now listen, Moses, when you fought that Egyptian, you let one of my Israelites go. But now we're going to fight them all, and you're going to let them all go. I saw in your heart what you took up for. I saw that I knew you was my man when the fight was going on, and you risked losing it all to go after that one that belonged to me. If you so much as give a cold cup of water to one of mine, you shall in no wise lose your reward. God's waiting for you to act and to react out of what's right. And now, well, I don't want to get involved. You know, it's none of my... Oh, Lord. Just pulling for them is not enough, my brothers and sisters. You got to pull them out. Moses said, I'll take this back up. I'll take this into my own hands. And they didn't understand. The next day he saw two of his own fight. He said, brothers, is it right that we should fight among ourselves? And he said, who made you a ruler and Lord over us? And it scared him. But you read on in the book of Acts, Stephen, I believe it was, that said, that same Moses whom they refused, did he make Lord and ruler over them? Let me tell you something. As you were standing this morning, you got to take it. What you're going through, brother, you got to take it. I'm sorry, brother, you got to take it. No matter what, you got to take it. You got to go through the dry places of this life to fulfill the purposes of God that he has in your life. I'm here to tell you, pain will have its payday. It will reverse. Suffering has its benefits. It will change. The Bible says that those that are going to rise with him must suffer with him. So tonight or this morning, every tear you've cried upon your bed has a payday coming. Every time you held it in because you didn't want anybody to know, I'm really hurting inside. That suffering's got its payday. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I read a scripture that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I read another one that said, they that sow in tears, shall what? Doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with them. As you close your eyes this morning, amen, I want to tell you, somebody and everybody, that what you're going through, the dry places, the sickness, the uncertainties, whatever it is, it won't last forever. My God, he's got a plan for you in your life. Don't seek your will, your purpose, and your cause, but seek his will, his purpose, and his cause, and he'll bring you through it. He'll bring you through this valley, the shadow of death, and mercy and goodness will follow you from there on. Glory to God. Amen. As they sing a song this morning, I wish you would make your way down here for just a few minutes. We won't be here long, but come if you will. Somebody needs to know that God loves you through the pain that you're going through. God loves you through the sickness you're going through. Amen. There is a better day coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let something rise up inside of you this morning that is only comes from God. Hallelujah. You know, things come upon the righteous. Guess what? Just like they do the unrighteous. I said, just like they do. I said, but Lord, just like it does. He said, the sun shines, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. The sun shineth on the just and the unjust alike. And you'll have sicknesses, you'll have mourning, you'll have pain, you'll have lost loved ones, you'll lose your children. It's just like the rest of the world. But you have God to turn to in your darkest hours. You have God to trust in your darkest days. You have God to give you water in your driest land. Amen. He can encourage you. David said, he is the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Sometimes I wonder, I say, Lord, why did you let that come on them? Why couldn't it have been on somebody else? They're living for you, God. And the Lord always reminds me, I know what I'm doing. I know you don't pray away what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. But I'm telling you, you'll pray your kids right out of trouble every time. You'll pray them right out of trouble. And you may pray them right out of heaven. Let God do what God wants to do. Amen. Let's pray before we go. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Pray with me, God. We come before you as a little small group of people in a little place called Carlos, Louisiana. But Lord, you hear from heaven, from every cry that comes out from one of your own sheep, you hear it in heaven, and it's echoed throughout your chambers, Lord. We ask you, Lord, I ask you to be with this congregation. Lord, though we may be in a state of uncertainty, some of them don't know what tomorrow will bring, whether it be health-wise, finances-wise, marriage, children, whatever it is. We know, God, we're not exempt from the things of this life. But God, what we do know is that you care for your children and you will come to our rescue. And we ask you this morning to do that to each and every one of us. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's all clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little song as we get going out of here.